May 18, 1983. I am at the home of William Stewart, spelled S-T-U-A-R-T, on Undermountain Road. My name is Lila Nash, and I am interviewing Bill, a native and lifelong resident. And we will begin in Lakeville when Bill was a young boy. Okay, now, I would like to begin when you were growing up in Lakeville and where you lived and your parents and when you were born.
I was born in Lakeville, 1905, July 4th, in Eaton, Alabama. My father was run a livery stable. He was an automobile and a carriage and a slave painter. My sister was a school teacher.
Who was that, Miss Anna Stewart?
That's right, Miss Anna Stewart was a school teacher. She taught in Long Pond for several years. Then she went from Long Pond to Oregon. And she taught school in our home for several years. Then she came to Lakeville, but she started a private school in Lakeville. And she was there, I would say, roughly 10 years, a private school. Then
How many of her students did she have?
How many pupils?
Yeah, who were some of them? Wren and Charlotte Reed, Charlotte Hall Reed.
Yeah.
And her brother.
Yeah, and there was a lot of kids there. I didn't know who they were. I mean, they used to come, and their parents would bring them, or their chauffeurs would bring them, or whoever happened to be. But there was quite a number of children. There must have been 40 kids, roughly. And she had that school until, I think she went away in 1931, somewhere around that, to St. Paul, Minnesota.
And where did you go to school? Did you?
I went to school in St. Mary's School in Lakeville.
Oh, St. Mary's.
Yeah, that's
where,
right.
Where the Masonic.
And I went to school. I went up to the 8th grade, and I was taken out for the work. And I never did get to read at the high school.
And when did you first start your first job when you were a young boy?
My first job was with Louis Gardner. He ran a butcher store in Lakeville. And I used to run my leg graft in the morning and deliver meat.
Where did you deliver meat?
All over the town of Lakeville. Wealthy people and hotels and everything.
Well, how did you deliver it? By what method?
Well, sometimes Ernie Gardner, the son, would drive the car, and I would run. They'd tell me, give me the package and say, well, you got to go in there, or you got to go in here. And then when that was done in the morning, then I went to work. They put me to work on chopping wood all afternoon. And I said I worked 6 days a week for $7 a week.
And how many hours a day?
Well, 8 hours, just like anybody else, 8 hours.
And that was your first job?
That was my first job.
And then what happened after that?
Then I went to a second job. I went to Mr. Charlie Perkins in Lakeville. And I worked for him, and I got $21 a week. And I asked him one day if I could have a raise. And I didn't want to work Saturday afternoon. And he said, how much you want? I said, I want $24 a week. And when he worked until noontime, I said, yeah. No, he said, I won't give you that. No, he said, no. So I said, I went home and I didn't say nothing. But my mother said that you wanted on the phone. And I went to the phone and I said, it was John Perkins. That was Charlie Perkins' father. He said, I want you to come over and see me there. So I went over to his house to see him, and this was a Saturday afternoon, and he said, you're going to work for me. He said, I'm going to pay $24 a week, and you're going to get home half at noontime on Saturday. But he said, you got to take orders from my son. Good enough. So I worked for them for a few years, only in the summertime. In the wintertime, I didn't work. And finally, I went to work for Mr. Doby. I worked for him for 5 years, a year round, on the icing.
Yeah, on the icing, on the ice cutting business.
That's ice cutting business.
For David Doby.
Dave Doby.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And can you tell us about that ice cutting business?
Yes, I tell you something about it. I mean, when I first went to work formerly, they used to mark the ice out with a horse. That before they had machinery. They mark it out, they leave this horse, and just like a plow behind it, but it wasn't a plow. They were one of them things either. They went across one of them things one day, a lot of them were ice. Anyway, you mark it out. Then you have to lose a cake of ice, chop it out in order to get it started. Then you saw that all off by hand. And I said, I never could saw one of them straight. But anyway, that means about that. So finally, brought a machine. And they gave me the job around with a big machine. The machine weighed 800. To run on runners. And on good clear ice, you had to hold it back. On ice that had snow on and then rain and froze, you had to pull it. And I said, you was out there, it was 10 or 15 below zero, you was on that pond. Was you liked it, was you didn't. I said, sometimes I'd eat my dinner and be frozen. But I got $24 a week, that's what we got.
What time did you go to work, Thomas?
Go to work 7 o'clock in the morning. They told sometimes it'd be 5, sometimes most times, especially in the summertime, it's 6. And on a holiday, we'd start off at 6 o'clock, and want to get through early, and we got through at the same time we did any other day of the week. We weren't getting hard. I don't know why it was, we didn't get through.
How many cakes of ice did you cut a day in a day?
Well, somewhere in the neighborhood of 15,000 a day.
And then you take them to the various ice houses?
To the different ice houses.
How many ice houses were there?
Well, now Mr. Doty had 85,000 cakes. He had 3 ice houses. But his one ice house used to be the gas, used to furnish gas light for street lights years ago. A lot of people had lights run by the gas in their homes. And that was the old gas house. And Mr. Doty bought that and he turned it into an ice house. And then he built 2 big wind jobs on the side, one on each side. You iced at the platform with $1.00. On the road with $1.50 on it. I said, Howard and I, his son was the same height as I was. We were same age as I was. And I said, we used to have a load of ice on that platform, on that truck, 21, 22 cakes of ice, almost off the one, ready to go on the road.
And you had, practically everybody was an ice customer in those days. They didn't
Yeah, we sold a lot of ice to big chain stores. Well, that was hard work, and big ice boxes was up in the air. It was up there 5-6 feet high. You had to swing them cakes up in there. 2 men swing them up in there.
And this was all taken from Lake Winnetskopama?
Yeah.
Did he cut ice on any other pond?
No, it was Lake Winnetskopama. We go in there, our ice season was about the last week in December. And we cut up ice up into the middle of February. And then we get off that pond. Then they started hunting on them. You had to get off. I said, we cut a lot of ice. You can figure out, sometimes it's 40,000 cakes of ice a day. But you had to have good sailing to cut a lot of ice because we had a lot of storms. One storm started in on a Friday night, it snowed. And I said, we never did get on the pond the next morning at 4 o'clock. We got on, but didn't know it was any good. We couldn't see what we were doing. And hard work, that was. It's no wonder I have room because I'm not riding my arms so bad. Who can that ice swing and everything?
How about the machine that nearly got away from you?
Oh, yeah. My machine went down into 85 feet of water, black bottom. It went down accidentally because the man on the field wanted me to cut it his way, and I wanted to cut it my way, and I cut myself off in the pond by doing it his way. And we hooked onto that machine about 2 hours later, the big rock one. And 3 o'clock that afternoon, that machine was setting on Lake for Lake. But I said, we had a rope that borrowed off of Steve Kimmel and Norton. It was 350 feet long, one rope, one piece. We had all of Lakeville, beside all his own men, all of us, the screwdriver out there. And Dave said, now when I say, 1, 2, 3, go, you go and don't stop until I dare you stop. So when that machine came up out of that water, I had to make a complete somersault and run on a runner. And why he wanted to keep going, because with the weight of 800 pounds and up in the air like that, the bridge will open again. So he didn't want to lose it again, so that's the reason why. So we got her out that afternoon, but I never run the machine after that. Like,
you nearly, I went down with it, or did he say to let it, how did he get down there in the first place?
Well, the reason why he got down is on account of cutting yourself off into the water instead of starting up at the open water, which that field had been open the day before, that afternoon. And we got a northwest wind, she blew that water in on that field, so she froze in on about 5 rows of ice. And what I want to do is come up to the open water and lose 2 rows, and now 3 rows of ice. We had to lose it. And cut on back toward my good field. But the boss on the field said, no, cut my good field toward there. So that's what happened. I was cutting into open water. When I got up there, between this machine, don't forget that when I cut ice, I was cutting 2 inches from the water. That's how far down I was with my big saw. And with the weight of the machine, that had already been cut, rather. She couldn't carry the load. That's the reason why I would want to lose that up in front there, and we didn't want to do it for it. That's the reason why she went down. I tried to hold the machine, but my boss said, let her roll. I let her go. She went down all of them, and then she didn't.
And he told you that he'd rather lose the machine than...
Mr. Doty, the boss, said, he said, he'd rather lose the machine. He said, we could buy a new machine, but we can't buy a new wife. We'd never have got you into springtime. Never. Because you don't barely need that ice. We wouldn't know where you
were. Were you with Mr. Doty when Lawrence Travis went down?
Yeah, I remember when Lawrence Travis
remember that?
Went
down. Were you there?
Well, I played hooky for school that time. And that was a risky business. That was taken out there in March. That was the ice with honeycomb. And old John Gervey, which had been Donald Gervey's father, built that pontoon to go out there to hold it up and get the miracle to you. My mother thought I went to school because I don't want to play the hooky. And then we watched them from shore. I didn't go out in the lake. And that was sure I didn't say that. It's the saddest thing ever hit this town.
But Lawrence Travis went down.
Lawrence Travis went down.
And who was he? The grandson of Owen Travis?
Who
built the Bear Mountain Monument.
That's right. Yeah.
You remember that on the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lawrence is a nice boy. He's going to marry an old town girl in Easter. They never knew where he was. I couldn't figure that out. Because at that time, there was a lot of trucks. There was a lot of trucks out the lake. And a lot of trucks dropped oil here and there and all over. Didn't you have a man go up on a Sunday afternoon, put a hole there, and strike on top of that guy the first time? That was a lot of baloney. I think that guy knew where that car was to begin with. But there's no way to prove it.
Did they get it out?
They got it out. And then when they got it out, they said the back upholstery was all torn to pieces from where he tried to get out. But Lawrence never wanted to work for Ed Martin. He wouldn't drive ice trucks because he didn't like the water. He was afraid to go on the lake.
Is that so?
That's right. He said he shouldn't be fired and do that. And that's why I never thought he was in that lake at all. And it came across, I think it was the first radio station that was on here, Dalton Harp or somewhere, even broadcast to find out where they turned it. And then we thought, God, where are we getting that wave of office?
Right.
So it was too bad, no showing in.
When did you get into the plumbing business?
I went in the plumbing business, which was the worst business you could ever went into. Hard work and that too. But I said, the guys today get big money.
And what
the most I ever got was $4, about $3.50 an hour.
And how many hours a day did you work?
8 hours a day.
8 hours a day. And who did you work for first in the plumbing business?
I worked for R.C. Miller in Lakeville. R.C. Miller had his plumbing shop down. His father, I remember his father, but I don't, his father wasn't alive when I went to work for R.C. Miller. So. But he was down there with the packetory, the Bishop packetory.
Is that where he
first
had it?
That's where R.C. Miller carved off. There used to be a little house out in front there where R.C. Miller's mother and father lived.
Yes. That's the wine shop now.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's where they started there. I worked for Miller. When I went to work for Miller, my first job, when I went to work for Miller, I went to work for Bill Stanton. That's Bill Stanton Jr.'s father, Jr. R.C. Miller said to me, he said, can you find Bill? I said, sure, I can find him. Of course, I didn't know why. Where do you suppose they put it? Up on top of the Catholic church, taking down a cement chimney.
Was that your first job?
That was my first job. Up on top of the Catholic church, taking down a cement chimney. Boy, up to 60 feet high. I didn't mind it. But that was my first job.
And what were some other interesting jobs that you did when you were with R.C. Miller? Was that, where else did you do some, jobs?
I used to be a pretty good pipe cover in those days, and then we worked at Kent School Fieldhouse. They had a hot water tank. 1,500 gallon hot water tank that covered that big tank alone. I done such a beautiful job on that tank. Any other tank we had put in anywhere, R.C. Miller wanted to cover. He wouldn't let nobody else cover that tank on me.
So that was your job, covering the big water tanks?
Yeah, it took about 800-900 pounds of asbestos. And then on Alaska, it had a big scaffold right around it, like that. Walk right around it all the time. And put porcelain and cement in it. So when it dried, it was just as hard as could be. Beautiful job, and I did it. I used to be a good pipe cover for R.C. Miller. I worked at Bill Stanton and I had a record of putting in more heat jobs in one fall than Hen Talley did with a power dam. We cut all of our pipes to him. He had a power dam. He didn't put in as many heat jobs as he did.
You cut all your pipe by hand?
By hand. That's hard work. Today they don't have to do that.
No,
your own husband cut pipe by hand. Bye.
And then did you work for any other firm?
Well, yeah, I went to work after that. I went to work for R.C. Miller. I went to work for Cecil Dyer in Norfolk. I worked for him for 2 years. Then I went after that. I went up to, by that time, the well was done. I was going to factories. And I done a little painting on the side. I painted the big true family house in Lakeville. We painted Lakeville Manor. John Tucker and I painted Lakeville Manor.
That's the apartments.
That's right.
Down on Montgomery Street.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we painted that. Three coats of paint. And then I finally painted John Garden's big house down on Boston Street alone.
Well, do you remember what was one of the biggest plumbing jobs in town?
Well, biggest ones, I couldn't tell you, really, I mean, things like that. We had a good-sized job up to Rake Robin, and the Rake Robin, part of Rake Robin when this was
Hunter
owned it. The east wing was nothing but just one big room. That was good-sized job. We put the plumbing and heat in there. And that was all pipe threaded by hand.
All cut by hand.
All by hand. Every bit of it, the big play on the heat line, the big 4-inch mains. That's hard work, that though.
Well, watch a lot of the changes in the village that you
Well, I've seen the railroad trestles were out, I've seen the hog block torn down, I've seen the gateway torn down, I've seen the whole block torn down all the way from Charlie Wing's there. I don't know if you remember Charlie Wing or not, do you? He lived in the same part of the house where Paul Andrews, I think, was born there.
Yes, and
yeah.
That's down now where the Shell gas station
that's
is.
Right.
And who was Charlie? Charlie Wing was the laundry man.
Yeah, he was the laundry man. And every springtime, about just before Easter, you'd go down there and he'd give us these robes. And you take them home and you put them in water and stone. And by the time Easter come, you had a nice big bunch of flowers up top. But he'd give you all them things. Of course, in them days, the people were mostly men would wear stiff collars. That's something I never wore. I had a brother who was a chauffeur, and for 17 years he had to wear a stiff collar. That was Harry Stewart.
Yes, Harry Stewart.
And he was chauffeur for cars, and he didn't know from school.
Was Ed Stewart one of your relatives? Or Ed Stewart that had...
He was my uncle.
He was your uncle.
My father's brother.
And he ran the
theater.
Yeah.
And you know that, talking about tearing down block, do you remember that place where the Western Union used to be?
Yes.
Well, that part there, I had an aunt.
Yes.
That would have been my grandfather's sister.
And I remember the Miss Stewart, she sold thread.
Yeah, she sold all kind of little knickknacks and thread she used to. So I used to go there and eat my dinner when I went to St. Mary's School. Sit there and eat dinner with her. And you often wondered how that woman ever met her. I don't know, people worked hard than they did.
Yes, they did. I remember her very well. And
yeah.
That later became a Western Union and
yeah.
Bessie's Lunch.
Yeah, and Paul Argo was in part of it there.
In the barber shop.
And before Paul got there, was Mr. Osborne at a harness shop there. You remember when that was?
Charles Osborne, yes.
Yeah,
that was Mrs. Harry Bellini's father.
Right, mm-hmm.
And then what do you remember about the center of the village where there's a great change there now? Do you remember the hub?
Yeah, when the firehouse was with a wooden hood. Firehouse was born 10 years I was, 1905, and it was a wooden firehouse. And remember when they used to go up the hill with a two-wheel digging in the, well, that was hard work for that thing up that hill, even in the summertime.
By the time they got to the fire, they weren't
sure,
able.
Sure, the fire had all burned up by that time. But there were a lot of changes. See, you take going down to community service. On the right-hand side where the I-Man is there now, there's a whole row of buildings down through there. That belonged to Mr. Billy Wheeler. That was Dorothy Wheeler's father.
He was the harness man.
There's an ice house on this end of it. There's a wagon house in between. And there's kept horses on the end.
And Mr. Wheeler was quite a horseman.
Yeah, he was quite a horseman. And he worked for my grandfather years ago. He used to work in the... They used to make all their own wagons, made all their own slaves. And I used to love to see the lovely paint job they done on it. I never forget one time when I was a little boy, 8 years old, I tried to run out by my father's paint shop. And then I found a little cast iron engine, a locomotive. And of course I run into my dad and I said, can you paint that? Not like that, Sid. He said, you clean that all up nice. And he said, I'll let you paint it. So I cleaned it all up the best I could and cleaned it up, my brother didn't. And he gave me some gray paint. He said, what color you want? I said, well, I'm blue. I want a stripe, gold stripe. Of course you don't need to I cleaned it up and brought it in and gave me gray paint and I painted it. So, I said, when can I paint some more? Well, he said, come in and I'll put a couple of days and put a coat of blue on. to him from the company. They didn't let me put it with Brewer. So I said, now, when do I strike it? Well, he said, well, I have to wait a little while on that. So he said, I'll tell you when you come in. So he told me one day, he said, come on in now. And he said, see, how you want these stripes for that? So I went in. There was that train all painted, all varnished, all striped up. Oh, boy, it was beautiful to look at it. And I thought, wow, that little engine, a little bit, wasn't very long.
What happened to it?
Huh?
What happened
to it? Well, it got broken moving. We used to have it up on the mound, it got broken moving. It's too bad because anything like that, oh God, my father was a great guy for striking things. Well, we would, Brother Harry was a boss mechanic in a big garage in Newark, New Jersey. And I mean, it was a big garage. They done everything. They had big buses and everything. They had their own blocks and everything. They had their own paintings. They had everything. And I went down there for a visit, not before noon. And I used to go and kid the painters. Painters in there painting these big buses and they had wooden wheels on them, you know. I said, no, Mom, no. I said, that ain't the way my dad does it. He said, what do you mean that ain't the way your dad does it? Well, I said, you're putting a drop line on the spokes, and then you take your striking brush and take it off that way. Well, he said, how did your dad do it? I said, he takes the striking brush and brings it right down that spoke. Well, my brother heard Harry. I thought he killed me. He said, leave them guys alone. They know what they're doing. Anyway,
and then what was your last, when did you retire?
Well, I retired here about 7 years ago. I got, you know, I used to do a lot of things. Since I retired, I've built about 32 birdhouses and feeders. And I gave them all away. I built them out of scrap lumber. Once a mile while, I may have to buy a boat for them now, but outside of that. Last winter, I built a friend of mine, a Martinburg house, 8 rooms in it. I built him 2 Bluebird houses. I built 6, 7 wren houses. I built 1 sparrow house. I gave them all away. I give everything away.
Well, that keeps you busy in your retirement.
You know, it's funny, Lila, when Helen Jones died, or before she died, she had me for a little fever. And I wanted to give it to her. She wouldn't, maybe, she'd give me $5. After she died, they had a tailtype field over there or something. The captain's over there looking around. They had the feeder. This feeder was 10 years old then. The feeder was out in the garage, so this guy walking over to the feeder, and Catherine had to be walking over there. He said, you can't have that, I'm going to buy that. She said, I don't want it, my husband built it. But she didn't have where to go, $10. She said, it was almost a fire for lack of payment.
Well, that's good. Well, it's nice to talk to you, and you know any?
That's what I do with my retirement.
Funny and...